thankful to be here this morning. It's good to see everyone, those of you joining online. It's great to have you here this morning. We are going to stand together and worship this morning with some hymns. We got some exciting stuff going on today. We got the baby dedication we are excited about as well. Let's all stand this morning that we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our worship time together. Let's pray and then we'll worship. God, we're thankful to be in your house this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that we can worship you, that we can learn more about you this morning, that we can come together, fellowship. Father, it's just so encouraging to see one another. Father, we thank you because, Lord, we can be here freely this morning worshiping you. God, I pray you prepare our hearts and our spirits, our minds to be ready to learn what it is that you would have us to learn this morning. Father, we pray that these songs, these hymns would be just a sweet sound to your ear. And Lord, there'd be a true worship this morning from the bottoms of our heart. Lord, we're thankful that we have this opportunity. Thankful for our pastors. Thankful for our church. And Lord, just bless this time together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Are you washed in the blood? Just a great hymn. Let's sing that together this morning. His presence. We have so much to be stand amazed at. Let's sing that together this morning.
Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be
welcome you this morning. We're going to do something a little different. You're going to turn around. You can't use the person to your right or left because you more than likely know them. So you're going to turn around and say good morning to somebody, and then just say, my name is, and say good morning. All right, let's try that now. Say, good morning, my name is, and let's get that, all right?
Excellent, excellent. Well, how many learned somebody's name they didn't know right now? Just right now. Great, good. There's a lot of people. Awesome. Well, I'm glad. Thank you for being here at Bethany Baptist Church. In fact, at this moment, I'm going to ask you if you would just go ahead and sit down. And as Brother Jason said, we do want to welcome you to Bethany Baptist Church. There's truly no better place to be than in God's house. And even just this morning, as we were just kind of shaking hands before the service started, I gave Javi and Eliud a fist bump. And, you know, I don't know, you know, this pandemic, of course, some are giving handshakes, some fist bumps, but I don't know if it's just because I played sports a lot growing up, but the fist bump was always like what you did when you were playing basketball or football, something happened, you get a fist bump. And there's just something about a fist bump that just gets you pumped. I don't know why. And I was telling them, I'm pumped to be at church, and I'm pumped to just fist bump at church. It just, there's something about it. I don't know, but I hope you're excited about being here, because I'm very excited about you being here and about just being in God's house. Well, this morning, before we continue on with our time of worship, we want to do what we call a baby dedication this morning. And we call it a baby dedication. If you've never been in a service where there's a baby dedication, it's not exactly just a baby dedication where we dedicate our children to God, but really it's almost a parent dedication, because it's a ceremony that we do at church where as parents, we promise before God and before our brothers and sisters in Christ here at church that we are going to do our very best to train our children in the love and admonition of the Lord, where we promise before God, before everyone, that we're going to teach them what God's word says, that we're going to teach them what it means to be faithful to God, that we're going to tell them what the gospel message is, and we're going to do everything in our power as parents to pass on our faith to them. And that's what is a baby dedication ceremony. So this morning, we're going to ask Brother Josue if he would come and his wife Elizabeth and bring up Liam. And then I'm also going to ask Elizabeth's parents are here, and I'm going to ask them if they would come up, and they're going to go ahead and bring Andrew and Briella as well. And the Bible has a lot to say about family. In fact, the whole idea of family came from God. It didn't come from just people that wanted to get together along through history and time, but it was actually the idea of God. And this wonderful idea of family that came from the mind of God is something that extends not just immediately to the parents of the children, but the Bible teaches us that even as grandparents and great-grandparents, we have an influence in our children and grandchildren's lives. And so that's why I've asked them to come. And Liam's got such a wonderful family history behind him. Both his grandparents are in full-time ministry. Brother Ellison is with a mission board in La Feria and Frontier Baptist Missions, and has been there for almost a decade now or so. And just a blessing before that, he was planting churches as a missionary all throughout Georgia there, Spanish ministries, and then also a missionary to Mexico City. And in fact, it was in Mexico City that Brother Ellison, Liam's grandfather on his mom's side, met his Josue's father, who is his grandfather on his dad's side. And I don't know if they made an arrangement, and that's how Josue and Elizabeth got married, because I always tell Elizabeth, you know, listen, you're way too pretty for him, you know, but whatever happened happened there, and they are a wonderful family of our church. And I say that just to say that Liam's history as having a grandfather on both sides and full-time ministry, what a blessing to be able to grow up in a home like that. And this morning, obviously, his grandfather on his dad's side, on Josue's side, is preaching at a church. He's a pastor there in Mexico City, and of course, was not able to be with us this Sunday morning, but I'm sure he'll catch it hopefully on the live stream at some point. And we just want to say, as grandparents, or as a church to grandparents, that we're so thankful for a godly heritage. And I'm thankful that we have families that are second and third generation that are still following what God's word says. They're still in church. They're still honoring God with their lives, and it's just a blessing to see that. Well, this morning, as I said before, this is a baby and a parent dedication. And as I looked up the name Liam, I don't know how many know the history of the name Liam, but Liam is it comes from the German name of William, and it means guardian. And as I thought about Liam and just thinking about what we're doing this morning in this ceremony, this verse came to mind, and it's Jude chapter 1 and verse number 3. And Jude writes, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And it made me think of that verse because our prayer during this ceremony is that Liam will grow up and guard the faith that was given to him. Timothy was a man in the Bible that also had a grandmother that was saved and a mom that was saved. And Paul reminded him and said, remember the faith that was given to you from your grandmother and from your mother. Keep that faith. Hold fast to that faith. And Liam is in the same situation as that young man Timothy was. He's got grandparents that have followed faith in God and parents that are faithfully serving God and faithfully following God's word. And our prayer this morning is that Liam would also receive that faith that when he gets old enough to understand his condition and understand that Jesus died for him and asked him to be a savior, that he would also be one that would carry that faith on in his generation and to the next generation also. So this morning, before we pray for Liam, we do want to ask Josue and Liz, do you promise before God this morning that you will do all your power to teach Liam the word of God and to show him what it means to be faithful and to follow the truth of God's word? Do you so promise? Amen. Well, this morning, before God as a witness and before us as the church as witnesses, they have promised to do that. And this morning, we want to take this time and ask God to help them as they do that, as they parent Liam, as they share their faith with him. And we'll pray for Liam as well, that God would give him an understanding heart and a heart that would follow after God in his life. So let's go ahead and pray, and I'm going to try to do this. Sometimes Liam doesn't like if I hold him, but he likes me today. All right, so let's go ahead and pray and ask God that he would bless this family. Father, we thank you so much this morning because we're here because you've been so gracious and merciful to us. Father, we know that children are a gift from you. In fact, your word teaches us that it is the greatest gift that we can receive other than salvation is this of children, and to be able to have them where we can raise them. You've given us the responsibility as parents to do our very best to teach them our faith, to teach them the truth of your word. And I pray this morning, first of all, that you would be with Liam's parents, with Josue and Elizabeth. I pray that you would give them wisdom as they teach Liam the truth of your word, that you would empower them, that you would fill them with your spirit, that they might take every opportunity that they have with Liam throughout his life to teach him the truth and the principles of your word, and that their faith would be an example to him to follow. And then I also pray that you would be with Liam. Oh, Father, I ask that you would soften his heart, that he would always be receptive to your word. I pray that he would live out the truth of what his name means as a guardian, that he would guard the faith, that he would hold fast to the faith, and that he would live and honor you. So, Father, I pray that you would be with this family today, be with the parents, be with the grandparents as they pour of their wisdom and experience into Liam's life. I pray that you would just bless them and protect them throughout their life. And I ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. That's wonderful. I hope that as a church, being witnesses to the promise that they just made before us and before God, that we will do our part, and that is to pray for them as parents, all right? The Bible says we ought to pray for one another. We're going to talk about that in this morning's message, but I hope you'll pray for the family, the Adonai family, as they do their very best to raise their children in the faith and admonition of the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand once again, if you would, and Brother Jason, if you'd come lead us in a few more songs before the message.
Amen. That's exciting. That's awesome. That's just one of those things that as parents, we are challenged as a church. We are challenged to pray for them. And yet exciting to see another family member come into this world and being raised with the teaching of God's Word. And let's sing together, Complete in Thee. It's got a great message, a great chorus. I love the chorus in this. So let's sing this one together, all three stanzas.
Complete in Thee, no work of mine could take, dear Lord, the place of Thine. Thy blood hath pardoned, bought for me, and I shall stand complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardoned. Complete in Thee, each want supplied, and no good thing to me denied. Since Thou my portion, Lord, will be, I ask no more. Complete in Thee, yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath bought and bought for me. Glorified, I too shall be. Complete in Thee, no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered, reign within. Thy blood shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed God, and sanctified. Salvation wrought, Thy blood hath bought and bought for me, and glorified I too shall be.
Amen. Our next song, Lamb of God, is the title of it. If you remember John 1:29, when the John said, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the next words were just powerful, which taketh away the sin of the world. And are we not grateful this morning that that is the case, that Jesus Christ, He raised that for us, and He took away the sins of the world, and we can accept Him today, believe in Him, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Let's sing that together.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but You have said, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned Him as He died. The humble King they named a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. Oh,
Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. Oh, Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
We'll end our time of worship this morning with speaking of the Lamb of God and what he does for us. He will hold us fast. No matter what God has brought you through, he always will hold us fast. Let's end this worship this morning with that wonderful song. Wonderful time of worship this morning.
Amen. Well, I hope your heart was blessed with those songs this morning, and I hope you're ready to continue your worship as we study God's Word together. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And let me just say, if you, as you were walking in, did not receive the notes for the message this morning, then I do want to encourage you, you could just raise your hand and the ushers will see your hand, and that way they can take the notes to you. And that way, you'll write down anything, maybe any thought that God brings to your mind as we study His Word, and that way you'll have something to remember and allow God to speak to you as you study His Word. You see, in prayer we speak to God, but through His Word, He speaks to us. And so we want to do our very best to be ready to listen and to write down whatever it is that God is speaking to us about. Hebrews chapter number 10, and we're going to continue our series called Out. And in this series of Called Out, we said that the word church means a called out assembly. It literally means to be called out. And we've been studying what the church is. We talked about how Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church and everything is built upon him. He is the chief cornerstone. And so upon Christ, the church was built. It is the church that is at constant spiritual warfare with the devil. But Jesus promised the church that the gates of hell will not prevail. And we studied that in Matthew chapter 16. And then we talked about the purpose of the church last week, and that is to reach and to teach. And we said, as a church, that's why we exist. We are to reach people with the gospel. And then we're also to teach them after they have accepted Christ as their Savior. Then we are to teach what the Word of God says. And so that is the purpose of the church. But this morning we want to talk about the practice of the church. And for that we're going to start in Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. And it says this. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Let's go ahead and pray and ask God to give us wisdom as we study this passage. Father, I thank you this morning for once again allowing us to be in your house. Thank you, Father, for your word, because it instructs us, because it is what guides us, and Father, it's what gives us wisdom. It's how you speak to us. So this morning we ask that you would prepare our hearts to be receptive to your word, that we would not just be hearers of your word, but doers also. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us this morning, that we might put away any distraction that might be going through our minds, and that we would just get focused on you and on the truth of your word. Fill me with your spirit as I communicate the message. May I do it with clarity. Give me the words, the thoughts to share this morning, and that we might all be edified and built up in Christ, that we may all grow spiritually as a result of being in your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the church is not only a called out people, though we have talked about the people of the church in this series. And we are unique people, and we are a called out people, but the word church means a called out assembly, a called out assembly. Now, that means, the word assembly means a group of people that have come together in one place. Now, this year has been a very challenging year in this area of the assembling of ourselves as a called out assembly. In fact, right now, there's a lot of debate theologically with theologians as to, is it really church if you're logging in or logging out? Is that really church? Are we really being assembled in one place? Now, back when Jesus used the word ecclesia, when he used that word, there was no internet back then. And so there was really no way to even come together through any virtual means. But there is a truth in being assembled together in one place and in a physical presence. And we find out that the word church means a called out assembly. Now, though it's been challenging throughout this year to actually physically come together, yet God has provided ways, especially in our state, where we can continue to do that. And we must understand that coming together is an essential and a vital part of church life. It's essential for the mission of the church. It's essential if the church is to move forward that the people of the church come together and assemble together. Because you see, there's a power in coming together. There's a word that's really well known in a lot of business books. It's this word synergy. I don't know if you've ever heard this word synergy, but basically the word means that the whole of something is greater than the sum of all its parts. Now, if you're wondering, well, what does that mean? There's a really practical illustration about this, of how the sum of, or the whole of something coming together, right, is greater than all the individual parts, the sum of all the individual parts. There's a horse that is known as the Belgian draft horse. It's a very big, a very powerful horse. It's known to pull very heavy loads. In fact, one Belgian draft horse can pull 8,000 pounds by itself. But what's remarkable, and people found this out really in the last about 200 years, they found this principle of synergy. And they found that if you get two horses, two Belgian draft horses together to start pulling an object, they found that it doesn't do 16,000 pounds. Now you might say, wait, if one horse can pull 8,000 pounds, then two horses, how is it that they cannot pull 16,000 pounds? You know, the reason that they don't pull 16,000 pounds is because they actually can pull 24,000 pounds together. See, that's synergy. That's when the sum of each one, right? If you add 8,000 and 8,000, you should get 16,000. But when they come together, you get more than 16,000. You get 24,000 pounds that they can pull. And they said if you train them together, like they grow up together, you train them to pull together and work together, they can pull up to 32,000 pounds. You see, they can do more together than they could do separately. That's what synergy does. Now, the church assembling together in one place as a called out people actually does more for the cause of Christ, more for the kingdom of God than we can do on our own and by ourselves. There's this thought that's really growing among many Christians, and it's this thought that says, well, I don't really need to go to church to be a Christian. Now, let me just say, that is completely true. You don't have to come to church to be a Christian. To become a Christian, the Bible says we must repent of our sins. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's what makes us saved. Not a church, but putting our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what makes you a Christian. But if you want to be a good practicing Christian, then you'll want to come to church. You see, because that's what the Bible teaches, to come together. That's what Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25 is talking about. In fact, in the whole book of Hebrews, the author of this book is teaching how Christ is the high priest, how Christ is our prophet, king, and priest. And he goes through the first 9 chapters talking about that. And even in chapter 10, he begins the chapter talking about that. And then he says, all that is a practical, there's a practical truth in knowing of what Christ does as our high priest. And that is, it allows us to come together. He's made us priests, and we talked about that. He made us priests so that we can come together and assemble together, that we might carry out the purpose of the church. So it's so important that we come together, that we assemble together as a church. It's part of the practice of the church. So this morning we're going to study quickly 4 synergistic practices of the church. Why is it important that we come together? Because there's more power when we come together. God can do more when we come together, when we assemble together. But what happens in that assembly? Why come together and do it? What do we do? Why is it so important that a Christian come to church? Well, that's what we want to look at this morning. First of all, I want you to notice that it's important to come together and assemble because we come together to worship God. Now you're saying, Pastor, can we worship God at home? Yes, you can worship God at home. But there's a different worship when you come and worship corporately. You do worship, and we ought to worship as Christians God at home in all that we do, but we also should worship together corporately as his church. In fact, the word worship is the Greek word proskuneo, and it means to bow down literally. It means to prostrate yourself. But what it's talking about when the Bible uses that word, it's not just talking about a physical motion of bowing down, but it's talking about the heart behind what we do. In other words, we ought to be submissive to God. That's what that word means. Worship is submitting to God. Someone has defined it as giving worth to God, ascribing worth to him. And that's why worship can be used not only for God, but for anything. Anything that you and I ascribe worth to is worship. That's why God was always telling Israel, hey, you shouldn't worship false gods, because you can worship them. You can worship the world. You can worship the world's philosophy. You can worship what the world does. But the Bible says we ought not to worship that, but we ought to only worship God and God alone. We ought to give Him worth because He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy to be adored. Now, how do we do that practically in church? How is the practice of worship, how does that happen in church? Well, first of all, it happens by singing to God. You know, one of the most important and most common ways that we practice worshiping God is singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. We have done that this morning. In fact, if you were counting, we sang five different songs to God this morning. We did that because we are ascribing worth to Him. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You see, when you sing this morning and we worship this morning, we're not worshiping so others can see our talent of how well we sing. But we're worshiping to ascribe worth to God. We're saying, as we sing this song, as we say these words in melody, we're doing it to the Lord. And this morning, as we come together, we assemble together to worship Him in singing praises to Him, singing hymns and psalms for Him. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, once again, to the Lord. You see, when we sing together, we not only obey God's instruction to us as a church, but we also will be moved by the Holy Spirit in a way that is different from any other time. Like, you can sing at home, and God loves us when we sing to Him at home and when we worship Him at home. But there's something different when you come and sing together in a crowd. It's kind of like if you've ever gone to a baseball game or a football game before the pandemic, when we could all gather right in a crowd, you can watch the same football game at home, and when they score a touchdown, in the speakers you kind of hear like a little bit of, well, right? But it's really low, you know, depending how high you have the volume. But if you're in the stadium, and you're watching the Dallas Cowboys in the stadium, and it's got, you know, 50,000 people, when you score that touchdown, it sounds a whole lot louder than just being in your living room. That's what singing together, when we are assembled together as a church, that's what the difference is. You start to feel a little bit more of what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, what God is beginning to move here in this place. You feel God's presence like you've never felt it before when we sing together. That's why it's so important to come to church, come together, singing and worshiping together. Why? Because that's when you can feel a lot of the Holy Spirit's moving in your life. It's just different kind of worship. It's just a different kind of feeling. If you read in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, now, this wasn't the church. This was before the church. This is in the Old Testament. But in 2 Chronicles chapter number 5, the people of Israel would come to the tabernacle, and they would sing and worship. And in fact, this was the first time they came to the temple, when the temple was being dedicated after King Solomon had built the temple. And they came, and look what it says. It says, and it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. That means they were together, assembled, and singing together to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. You see, that's what happens when you come together. You come together, you worship God by singing to God, and the presence of God is in this place. And it's just amazing. It's moving. And that's why probably you can sing, He Will Hold Me Fast at home, and you may be moved. But you know, it's hard to not be moved when you're in God's house singing that same song. And so we find that as we come, the practice is so that we can worship God through singing, but also worship God by surrendering to God. You see, when we worship, we are in effect submitting ourselves to God, our body, soul, and spirit. That's what Paul taught the Christians in Rome. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, there in your notes. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, the way you connect this verse is if you know a little bit about the Old Testament, when they were worshiping God, they would take sacrifices to the temple. And the priest would go and they would dedicate that sacrifice to God, and it was a time of worship in which they worshiped God through that sacrifice. And Paul is saying here in Romans, listen, you and I are to be now that living sacrifice. The sacrifice, that animal that was killed at the temple to worship God in a form of worship, he says, now we're to be that sacrifice, except we're not going to be dead as that animal was. We're going to be alive unto Christ. We're going to be holy and acceptable so that we might worship him. Worshiping him is surrendering ourselves to him. Through the surrendering of ourselves to God, we allow him to speak to us, to mold us, to use us for his glory. In other words, we ascribe worship to him. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Paul says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey his servants, ye are to whom you obey? Paul says, listen, you can be a sacrifice. You can worship yourself or you can worship God. It just depends. Who are you going to surrender to? Someone said, there's only two choices on the shelf. Choosing God or choosing self. When we come together as a church, we're choosing God. When we come together to worship and assemble, we sing to God, but we're also surrendering ourselves to God in an act of worshiping God. You see, this morning as we are here in this place, as we are studying God's word, we are worshiping because we ought to be submitted this morning to say, God, whatever your word teaches, whatever it says, I want to apply it in my heart. I want to submit myself to obey what your word teaches. That's why it's so important that we come together. It's essential for worship. But not only is it to worship God, and by the way, it really tunes us in. It tunes us into God when we worship, when we sing, and when we surrender ourselves. It begins to tune us into God. I heard the story of this Native American and this businessman that they were walking down the street. And as they were walking down the street, the Native American said, oh my goodness, did you hear that? And the businessman said, you hear what? And he said, you don't hear the crickets? Man, they're really loud. And the businessman said, crickets? I don't hear no crickets. I mean, we're in a big city. We're walking down. I hear people. I hear cars. I hear, how do you hear crickets? He said, I can't believe you can't hear them. Just listen carefully. The businessman stopped for a second. I still don't hear anything. And sure enough, just when the businessman thought that the Native American was kind of making things up, he walked over right there on the side of the sidewalk, and there was that little cricket. The Native American picked up the cricket, and he said, I told you, I hear the cricket. And the businessman was just wowed, and he said, well, how in the world could you hear that cricket here in downtown where there's all these people and all these cars? And he said this, he said, I heard the cricket because, you see, my ears are tuned in to nature. And so as soon as I hear anything of nature like crickets, I can pick it up. I'm tuned into that sound. He said, watch this. And he put his hand in his pocket and got some pennies, and he threw them on the sidewalk, and immediately 10 people just turned around and heard it. You see, he said, when you're tuned into pennies, you'll know when they drop. If you tuned into money, you'll know where it's at. Whatever you tune yourself into, that's what you're going to be ready to do. And you see, when we come together as a church, we come to worship God because it tunes us in with God. It gets us ready to say, God, whatever you want from me, I'm willing and ready to give. So we see that we come together to worship God, but we also come together for the instruction of his word. Instruction in his word. The word instruction means the action, practice, or profession of teaching. You see, we're instructed in the word of God. We're to learn it. The church comes together to learn what God's word says. And this is so important. Why? But because it provides direction for our life. The Word of God provides direction. Without the instruction of God's Word, we can easily be led astray with any wind of doctrine, with any teaching. In fact, Paul was constantly telling Timothy, hey, be careful because there's false teachers. Be careful because there's other people that also hold the Bible just like you have, but they don't teach what you teach. They use the Bible for their own personal gain, and be careful with that. Be careful with these false teachers. Be careful to follow something that is not biblically based. And this morning, the reason we come together as a church is to study God's Word and to say, God, guide us, lead us through your Word. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Scriptures are a foundation of all our faith and practice. And we must understand this morning, it's important to come to church because it's at church where we're going to hear the Word of God, where it's going to give direction for us to follow. I love that in Acts chapter 17, when Paul went to the city of Berea, these people in Berea, they received the Word of God, and then they began to search the Scriptures to make sure, hey, is Paul what he is preaching? Is it what the Word of God says? Now, they weren't looking at it critically. They weren't saying, oh, I think Paul's lying to us. No, that's not their attitude. Their attitude was just to say, I want to know what the Word of God says. I want to know. I need to study it. I need to learn it. So we must have the same disposition when we come together and when we assemble together. It's so that we can study the Word of God because it provides direction in our life. But also, the Word of God provides food for our spiritual diet. The Bible says that the Word of God is our spiritual food. We need this so that we can grow, so that we can learn, so that we can be stronger in our faith. It's our nourishment. Romans chapter 10, look at what it says, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You see, we come together, we assemble together, because we're in a called out assembly. We come together so that we can learn what the Bible says, because it gives us direction, but it also gives us nourishment. It helps your faith to grow so that when the hard times come in life, you're not just leaving and running away. It's so that when there's problems in your marriage, suddenly you know where you can turn to and what you should do to help your marriage get stronger. It's so that when your children start going on a path that isn't really the right kind of path, you'll know how to talk with them and how to help them and how to instruct them. That's what the Word of God does. You see, it nourishes us. It nourishes our faith. It makes us stronger. That's why it's so important. Listen, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because, listen, you're going to miss out on God's moving when you worship. You're going to miss out on the instruction and the direction that God wants to provide you, the strength that God wants to give you when you miss coming together at church. Then I also want you to notice that we come together to have fellowship with one another. You know, the word fellowship literally means share. We are to share with one another. This fellowship, this sharing, it bonds us. And listen, when you make a bond, it's not easily broken. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, it's not in your notes, but in Ecclesiastes chapter number 4 and verse number 12, it says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know what the author is saying there? He's saying, listen, if y'all stick together, you're stronger. When you begin to fellowship at church, we need to assemble together. Why? Because it makes us stronger. He says, if it's just one-on-one, you might fall. Someone might prevail, but when there's two, somebody's got your back, and when there's three, it's even stronger. Can you imagine a church of 100? That's where your faith can carry you. That's where the fellowship helps you. Now, we come together, the Bible says, first of all, to share one another's burdens. Do you know the church is not a place for me to come and see how spiritual I am? It's not a place to come and pat me on myself on the back and say, man, I'm a pretty good Christian. Look how much of the Bible I know. Look how many songs I can sing. Look how great I am. That's not what the church is for. It's not to come and make myself feel better and justify myself and say, yeah, things are pretty bad in my family, but they're not as bad as that guy's over there. You know, sister so-and-so, I can't believe it. Look how much better I am than they are. You know, if you're not careful, you can make church turn into that. Instead of sharing one another's burdens, we start pointing out everyone else's faults. Instead of saying, man, listen, they're going through a hard time. I ought to pray with them. I got to help them. I got to be there for them. Instead of doing that, we're just kind of saying, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. I knew it. I remember, you know, I was talking to them and they were saying that they were going to do this and this with their family and their kids. And I knew they were going to go down. I knew it. And we're almost excited that bad things are happening. And sometimes people stop coming together and assembling because they say, listen, I don't want to go to a place where I'm just going to be judged all the time. I don't want to go to a place where there's so many hypocrites talking about one another and gossiping all the time. And I wish I could say, well, that never happens at our church. But you know what? If we're not careful, it'll happen here. That's why it's so important to understand we come together not to point out and compete with one another on the spiritual platform of things. No, we come together to share one another's burdens, to pray for one another, to help one another. Romans 14, 13, Paul said, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, God, help me not to make somebody stop coming to church because I had a bad attitude. Or because I said something I shouldn't have said. Help me to forgive those at church that have offended me. Help me not to offend somebody else while I'm there. Help me to be honest and true with people. Help me to speak to them in love. That's sharing one another's burdens. See, church people aren't perfect. If you've been here long enough, you'll find that out. We're not perfect. But you see, this is what's so amazing about the church. Look at what Paul told them in Galatians chapter 6. He's talking to the church in Galatia, and he's talking about, listen, what happens when someone falls? And by the way, in that letter of Galatia, Paul went and told Peter, what you're doing is wrong. Because Peter was practicing something that wasn't biblical. And Paul said, I had to withstand him to his face there in Galatia and say, Paul, what you're doing is wrong. But you know what he says in chapter 6? He says, you know, when someone falls that way, when someone practices, and what Peter was doing, he was giving favoritism. He was siding with one certain type of person over another. And Paul said, you can't do that. You can't choose the Jewish over the Gentile. Christ has saved all of us. And Peter was doing that. But look what he tells the people of Galatia in chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, if someone messes up, if someone did something wrong, ye, which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. He says, we're to identify with one another's struggles. We're supposed to bear each other's burdens in that. We come together for that purpose. To fellowship, to bond, to share in our burdens. But let me tell you, not only sharing in our burdens, but also sharing in our blessings. In our blessings. You'll notice as you study the book of Acts that first church in that first century, man, not only did they share one another's burdens, not only were they getting persecuted together and praying for one another, but then you see them sharing the blessings that God had given them. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 45. It said, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. By the way, there's a false idea that this is promoting socialism. It's not promoting socialism. Socialism takes away from people that don't want to give. That's not what was happening here. Okay, everyone was giving of themselves. Every individual, okay, was making a choice saying, there's a need over there. I can give to that need. I'm going to give to that need. Nobody was taking it. The pastor wasn't taking, you know, the possession of the people and the members of the church. No, they were willing to give. Why? Because they said, listen, we're coming together to share the blessings with one another. We're here to help one another. Romans chapter 14, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. You know what they were looking to do? Is to meet each other's needs. You might say, well, Pastor, how do we do that in this church? What programs do we have? The program of you just assembling with others and seeing what their needs are. Listen, don't wait for the pastor to tell you, oh, you know, you need to go and do this for them. Listen, if you see the need, then take the lead and go. You say, man, I want a church where we're all sharing our burdens. Okay, then share your burdens with somebody. I mean, I want a church where we're sharing the blessings. Okay, then share the blessings with someone. I remember years ago talking with a man. He's no longer in our church, but he was coming to our church, and he said, Jeremy, how come, you know, I'm reading an Acts, and I'm seeing how these people were giving one to another, and man, why is it that we can't just come and begin to just, like, give everything that we need to give to everybody and do all of this, and I said, well, we can. I mean, it just takes individuals that want to make a choice to do that, to live that out. Well, about a year later or so, he got so discouraged and he left the church. And I found out later, do you know he never gave? Never gave tithe, not once. Wasn't really willing to have people over at his house. I never heard of anyone coming to his house and him hosting them. And I thought, you know what? That's why you feel like this church doesn't do that very well. But you see, it's not the church's fault. Sometimes it's our fault. It starts with an individual here choice to say, if I want a church that shares burdens, I got to share my burdens. If I want a church that's meeting the needs of people, I need to meet the needs of people. So we come together to worship God. We come together to be instructed in what God's word says. We come together so we can fellowship and share the burdens and the blessings with one another. But lastly, this morning, we come together for ministry to be done. Do you know that God has called each of us to serve him? There's no one that he has saved that he does not want them to serve. In fact, the greatest work after salvation is God equipping us to serve. Look at in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. It's not in your notes, but if you have your Bible, you can go there. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. And you'll find there Paul has talked about salvation. And he says in verse number 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Paul was saying, after you're saved, you know what the work that God wants to do in your life? He wants to equip you. He wants you to be his workmen. We come together so that we might serve God. Because he's equipped us. And we do this, first of all, in serving God with our gifts. Do you know the moment that you got saved, God gave you a gift. He gave you some spiritual gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, look in your notes. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, the maturing, if you will, of the saints for the work of the ministry. Notice that, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, we can't just stop coming together and expect God to work in our community, in our families, and in our lives. You can't. The reason we come together is so that we might minister, that we might serve God with the gifts he has given us. And listen, each and every one of us, I don't care how old you are, I don't care who you are, the moment you got saved, God gave you a gift. Some God's given two and three gifts, and you can serve in multiple areas at church, but we all have at least one gift. If we're not serving today, it's not because God just didn't gift me anything. No, God's gifted you. It's the decision, are you going to use that gift? Are you going to serve him? We come together, we assemble together as a church so that we might serve him. The church is a place where we exercise those gifts. We use them for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Whether that might be teaching a Sunday school class, whether that might be taking care of children in a nursery. Listen, I know some of the most gifted ladies that are in the nursery. It's unbelievable. People with just unbelievable patience, knowledge. I don't know how many are new parents, but I remember when I had my our oldest, you know, whenever he got sick, I was like, I don't know what to do. And I asked my wife, I don't know what to do. All right, well, let's try to figure out something. I don't know. But there's just some ladies that serve in the nursery, and they're like, they just know what to do. I don't know how they, it's just a gift, I guess, they got. But they use that for God. We come together so we can serve God with our gifts, and we come together so that we can serve others. That we can serve others with grace. The gifts that God has given us, it's not for us to kind of further our own career, if you will. It's not to get us ahead in life. It's to serve God and to serve others. By the way, when you're serving God, you'll be serving others. You will. I love what Pastor Ouellette one time he told me. He said, you know, I always told my staff, he said, I told them, you know, you'll never need a handbook as long as you remember that you're here to serve people. You'll never need a handbook. You know, people that own businesses, they can tell their employees the same thing. Listen, if you just understand that you're here to help people, you don't have to know what all these rules are, because most of the rules are there so that you could help people. Just have this attitude. I'm here to help people. You'll be amazed at what God will use you to do. And we need to come and do that. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They had surrendered to God everything that he had. I found this poem, and I thought it was very challenging to me. It's entitled, If You Want to Kill the Church. It says, if you want to kill the church, never go to your church or meetings held there. If you do, go late or be late. It's no one's affair. If the weather is bad, either too hot or snowing, just stay home and rest, for there'll be others going. But should you attend, be sure and remember to find fault with the work, each official and member. Be sure to hold back on your offerings and tithes. The bills will be paid by the rest of the guys. And never take office if offered the post, but eagerly criticize work of those that do. If not on a committee you're placed, be sore. If you find that you are, don't attend anymore. If asked your opinion on this thing or that, have nothing to say, just turn them down flat. Then after the meeting, shine out like the sun by telling the folks how it should have been done. Don't do any more than you possibly can. Leave the work for some other woman or man. And when you see faithful ones work themselves sick, then stand up and holler, it's run by a click. So many times, this is our attitude in church. We come together not to serve one another with grace, but serve ourselves. And before you know it, that's how churches die. Listen, any church that's closing its doors and not opening anymore, you can follow and trace what happened there. It didn't happen just from one Sunday to the next. It was a process of months and years of people saying, well, I don't think we really need to come together. Well, if we come together, I don't know that I need to be there. Somebody else can do that. Somebody else can serve. I got this talent, but I just don't know that God really wants me to use that talent. I don't know that God gave me that talent. And listen, before you know it, the church is going to die. The church will die. That's why it's so important. Listen, not forsaking ourselves together. Listen to the admonition of Hebrews 10:25. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He said, don't do that. Why? Because when we come together, we worship. And it's just a different kind of worship. When we come together, we're instructed by God's word and he guides and directs us. When we come together, we fellowship. When we come together, we serve. This morning, the challenge is really, really simple. Let's be a church that assembles together. And let's practice what the Bible teaches. Why is it so important for us to come to church? Because we need to worship, and we need the instruction, and we need the fellowship, and we need to serve one another. Man, if we each can decide that today, it'll transform our church. And I want to challenge you individually, make the decision to be that kind of church. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, and Father, for this of church, this idea that is so remarkable, so amazing. Father, I pray that as we think about why it's so important for us to be assembled together, I pray that you would help us to realize that It's in the assembling of ourselves together that we practice so much of what your word teaches. Oh, Father, it's been a challenging year to fulfill this in our lives. It's been a challenging year as a church for us to be united and to stay united. But Father, through it all, you have helped us to maintain this truth and this reality in our lives. This church is moving forward, not because, Father, we have forsaken the assembling of ourselves, but rather because we have made that a priority in our life. And so, Father, I pray and ask that you would help us to practice that today. That you would help us to continue working, to continue following what your word teaches, continue to help us to submit ourselves more and more to you. And that through all of this, we might have a church that truly is practicing what your word teaches. And help us throughout this week. Help us to meditate upon these thoughts and help us to truly be a church that would honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. What another great message. And thank you, Pastor Jeremy, for that message. This morning, just a few announcements before we head out the door. We do want to remind that there is an evening service tonight here in the sanctuary. And then there is the youth meeting will be taking place in room 3. College and career will be over in the portable. And we want to invite you for IBB Next and for the youth meeting. Great time, great fellowship, a wonderful opportunity to continue to grow. And we're excited about that. And I will be preaching here for the night service. And I'll do my best to translate a little bit. But we'll be here tonight as well. And then we also want to look ahead. We are so thankful for what God has done in our church over the years. And we're thankful because though we have a pastoral staff now, our senior pastor,